Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
This is Need to Know. Real talk about unidentified anomalous phenomena. From Australia, Ross Coulthart. From the U.S., Bryce Zabel.
Hey, great to see you again, and welcome back to Need to Know. It's March of 2024, and it's actually our 50th show. More on that in a moment. But what we're going to be talking about today is very much this. This is the report from the Department of Defense, their All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, and we're going to be taking that apart. But boy, I got to tell you, they need to hire somebody to do shorter titles. The title of this is The Report on the Historical Record of U.S. Government Involvement with Unidentified Anomalous Phenomenon UAP Volume 1, which is a lot. So anyway, let me bring in my partner in crime here, Ross Coulthart in Sydney. And Ross, I have to tell you, I should have baked a cake. I should have done something. I mean, 50 shows, that's more than
happy
a few.
Happy 50th, Bryce. G'day, mate. Yeah. How are you? Hello from down under. I was going to wear a jacket today, but it's so blooming hot here. It's 30 centigrade. So what is that? 32 centigrade. So, you know, getting up the barometer. It's too blooming hot to wear jackets today. And anyway, the long and the short of it is, what a stinker of a week. My goodness me. What an incredible moment. I think this moment is going to be a historical moment. The fact that the Pentagon tried yet again one of those stentorian declarations from the mountaintop, and I think it's blown up in their face, mate.
Well, let's revel in that in a moment after we revel in our 50th again, because it's kind of interesting. Our good friends over at Weaponize, George Knapp and what's his name again? Oh, Jeremy Corbell. The two of them were celebrating their 50th episode last night. So I was watching that going, huh. And we're coming up on our 50th here. But then, Ross, it hit me. Right after the Dave Grush testimony last summer, we did a show with the guys on Weaponized, and they counted it in theirs, and we didn't count it in ours. So on a technicality, this is our 51st show if we count it.
Now, that's very symbolic, Bryce, because we know that 51 is a very important numeral.
51 is pretty cool. Anyway, you know, the fact that 50 of these things, I mean, I just remember at the beginning just going, each one just, you know, took it out of you. And here we are. We're still going along. And congratulations to you. You have a new show over at what's that name of that network? News Nation.
At News Nation, yes. Looking forward to breaking more stories, not just about UAPs, by the way. It's an opportunity to dig into a whole lot of things. But rest assured, dear viewers, we will continue doing Need to Know and causing as much mischief as possible here, as well as through Reality Check on my other show.
We all need a reality check once in a while, I admit. I certainly need it more often than most. So I'm glad to have you around doing that. I saw your first show. Very good. Interesting. And, you know, I'm ready to roll up our sleeves and do this one. But can we talk about what we've been doing the last month for just a few minutes here?
Sure.
You've been traveling yourself. To lay your story down for us.
Okay. I've been in the States largely doing secret squirrel research and meetings. And the one thing I came away with, and I'm glad some of it's starting to come out now, I was in Congress meeting and greeting very senior political people, staffers, and also meeting up with people in Washington who know what's really going on. And I'm really pleased to see that my friend and colleague Joe Khalil from News Nation has broken the story this morning that the members, I think, of the House Oversight Committee are pushing for, notably Representative Burleson, they're pushing for a new select committee into UAPs. And what I can tell you is there was a moment I was standing in the Senate wing of Congress, just minding my own business, actually checking my phone, and these two very senior politicians came up to me. And they said, "Oh, you're the guy that did the Grush interview." And I said, "Yes." And then one of them said, "Oh, yeah, and you do that Need to Know podcast?" And I went, "Yes, that's me, sir." And then I realized who I was talking to. And these were two very senior senators, neither of whom are prominent at all publicly in the commentary on the issue. But what they took their time to say to me was how they know they can smell bullshit when they see it. And they were making the point to me that Congress is not letting this issue go. And I can't say a great deal about what I know is happening, but there is a very strong bipartisan push on the Congress that it's time. That basically they're not buying that nonsense ARRO, All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, historical review report, which essentially was a whitewash, a disgraceful whitewash, an attempt to put the whole subject matter back in the box, an attempt to discredit David Grush and other whistleblowers, and an outrageous slur on the good people who had the willingness to come forward and perhaps naively give their evidence to ARRO. Congress isn't letting go. And I'm pleased that we're recording this show on a morning where Representative Burleson, I note, has just tweeted in the last few minutes that, yes, he's gone to the Speaker with a letter that Joe Khalil leaked, which was sent yesterday, basically saying that in light of recent whistleblower testimony and new evidence pertaining to UAP, we request that the U.S. House of Representatives establish a select subcommittee under the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability to investigate the federal government's response to UAP. And I note that in the video of Joe's Q&A with Rep. Burleson, Burleson's actually asked, does he trust the Defense Department's statements in the historical review report? And he acknowledges he doesn't. That's a very interesting admission. And he's not the only one. And that's the key message I came away from my visit to Washington, Bryce. People in the Congress care about this issue. They're engaged with it. And they're still asking questions.
I can't really match that, but I will say that in the last month, I was actually in Washington, D.C., more as a tourist. I think our paths may even have crossed. I did the standard stuff, went to the White House and ogled it, and then I did do something. Well, let me just put it this way. Once the UFO bug burrows into your head, then almost anywhere you go, there's something to think about that very topic. So while I was in D.C., I did go to the National Portrait Gallery with my wife, and they have that lovely display of all the presidential portraits. It's really phenomenal. And I played this little game with myself where I tried to identify what each president knew or didn't know about the UFO topic. And that was a lot of fun. I went to a play, by the way, and I was out walking around, and my wife was waiting for the tickets. When I come back, there's a guy sitting with her who says he's some kind of Senate staffer, and he just lays into me about, I guess what the way he was putting it was pseudoscience, just really taking me on about the pseudoscience of UFOs. And I'm thinking, where did this guy even come from? And then at the end of that little weirdness, I said, well, okay, if you think it's all pseudoscience, maybe you should go back and investigate the Nimitz case and take a look at that. And he said, I'm not familiar with the Nimitz case. Here's a guy that just told me he'd spent 25 years looking into it. So anyway, that's kind of strange, though. That's weird behavior.
How could you not know about the Nimitz case? It's funny, too, because whilst we're enjoying putting the boot into the historical review done by the Pentagon, right, it didn't mention the Nimitz case either. I mean, I just find it breathtaking that they could do what they call a historical review, and they don't even mention that case.
Well, I went on my own historical review because after I was in D.C., I thought I would go down to Virginia. I went to Virginia Beach, had a nice time. Almost nobody was there, except every 2 minutes, there's a couple of jets flying over the air. And, you know, of course, Virginia Beach is where Ryan Graves was stationed, I believe, from 2009 to 2019, where they encountered the, you know, a lot of UAP, to say the least. And kind of interesting location because there's 100,000 people in all branches of the military in that town. And of course, that is also where some of these sightings happen. Then I went to New York City, and it was fun because, as you know, the John Lennon sighting is kind of a passion of mine. And just so everyone knows, it didn't happen at the Dakota where he was murdered. It happened across town near the East River. So my daughter, Lauren, and I just walked through Central Park down to where this sighting happened. And we're able to actually look at, like, okay, he was there. There's the East River. How many people must have been looking? And I've got some interesting thoughts on the Lennon story. I'm not going to put it up front here, other than to say it's interesting to me that Lennon did have this sighting with May Pang, his girlfriend at the time. And it's not like no one else saw it. There were five or six people that reported it to the newspapers, a similar amount that called into the police. So other people saw it. And yet here's this 10-minute sighting with this bizarre-looking UFO with a cherry on top and a burnished cone and then white lights rotating around the bottom. And it takes 10 minutes. And it goes slowly down the East River, and Lennon sees it, of course, and a few of these other people do. But generally speaking, it didn't turn into a big thing. It got no coverage and all that, and yet something was there, but not everybody who was in the vicinity to see it saw it, which I think raises some questions about what the phenomenon actually means that I hope to get into later. But I say right now, let's tear into this bad boy.
Well, I think a good starting point for this, Bryce, is to actually look back in history, because to my view, what we saw come out on Friday last week, the Arrow Historical Review, it wasn't a historical review at all. It was the continuation in a long line of Defense Department obfuscatory reports that have essentially attempted to always distract and defer public attention from the focus on UAPs. And I don't think it's going to work this time. And it really struck me. I mean, there's the, just help me with my history here. There's the Condon report, which was obviously one of the whitewash reports. What can you recall before last Friday's paltry effort of the history of Pentagon efforts to obfuscate on UAPs?
Well, it's deep and lengthy. You know, here's the thing, though. I didn't like the report's conclusions, all right? And its conclusions, if one could sum them up, is simply nothing to see here. We've looked into this, and we didn't find anything there. And then, but what it did do that I thought was interesting, which is in reference to your own question, it did a fairly comprehensive job of explaining what the chronological order of all these different investigations the government has done about UFOs over the time. And so at least it helped me. It helps understand the context of the whole thing. And I want you to remember one thing. The very investigations that happened, none of them were public like our current investigations, except for Blue Book and the Condon report. And that's kind of interesting. We know about these other investigations, not because the government fessed up about them, but because the Freedom of Information Act allowed people to get memos, et cetera, explaining them all. So just my minority report and the cacophony of people in UFO world who are calling bullshit on this thing, it did lay out the context and the history a little bit. So, for example, your question about the Condon report, you simply go to like their table of contents, and I'm looking for the I have to wear my glasses to figure that out. But here's the Condon report, April 68. And I mean, by my count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 other investigations prior to that Condon report. So there's a deep history of the United States government looking into UFOs. And the question is, Is it really reasonable for them to say, after reviewing all these investigations, that nobody found anything? But that, here's where the rubber meets the road on that. What they're really saying is they found no evidence that there were any that were extraterrestrial. Well, first of all, we all know that the new way to talk about this is NHI, non-human intelligence. So, for example, if there was a non-human intelligence behind any of these sightings, by saying we found no evidence that they were extraterrestrial would be a nice way to parse that. So, I don't know if that, I don't want to be overly paranoid, but that would be one explanation. And then just finally, as I read this thing a couple of days ago and sat down and just kept turning the pages, reading it. And again, some actual good stuff in there, except for the conclusions. I realized that the con that this report plays for me anyway, is that as you read the report, it's like they're saying, we investigated all these sightings and could explain 98% of them or whatever, same thing that other investigations have shown, and that only 2-3% are the anomalous ones. But see, that's the point. What this report does is it makes it sound like we looked into it, 98% of them, nothing. Therefore, the other 2% are probably just outliers. They're just, we just haven't figured it out yet, but obviously we're not finding extraterrestrial or the existence of UFOs. But that's not the point, as you well know, Ross. They should not be talking about the 98%. They should be talking about the 2-3%. That's what people like you and I want to know about.
Absolutely. I mean, let's deal with a few specifics. For example, a lot of the rebuttal was directed at David Grush's claims that he made both in his interview with me and in the interview that he did with Leslie Kahn and Ralph Blumenthal. But David Grush never even gave evidence to Arrow. And the reason why is because of what we see in this report. It was a hatchet job. It was a hatchet job from the very first go. So David didn't want to participate, and he also couldn't get assurances that he was seeking about certain things that I can't discuss here. But the interesting thing is they have attempted to rebut Grush's claims, but they leave open the possibility with a phrase, based on all information provided to date, they found no empirical evidence for claims that the US government and private companies have been reverse engineering extraterrestrial technology. Now, that sounds impressive, and it's the sort of thing that galoots on social media who wants to debunk this topic will seize on and use to suggest that David Grush was just lying through his teeth and that it was all a load of nonsense and we could all go back to our homes. What they ignore is that David Grush's allegations, and this is the point that people forget, David Grush's allegations were declared under oath by the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community to Congress in a private hearing to be credible and urgent. And he backed up the letter that he'd written to the Congress stating that David Grush's allegations included his allegations of a reverse engineering program and a UAP retrieval program. So now you have this really interesting situation, Bryce, where the Pentagon has just flat out lied. I'll say it like it is. They have flat out lied and totally misrepresented the truth. And you have the intelligence community, which is arguably a different arm of government, making a different assertion through its oversight official, Thomas Monheim, the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community. He's done that under oath. And moreover, so has David Grush. David Grush has done it under oath to the oversight committees in the Congress, in camera, in a private skiff. And so have other witnesses, whistleblowers, that have come forward directly to the Congress who didn't trust this steaming pile of dog turd that constitutes Arrow's supposed historical review of UAPs. What really struck me was that Congress actually mandated, all they mandated in this historical review was a list, a chronological list of all of the US government's interactions with the UAP issue and an explanation of the stories behind incidents like Roswell right through the present day since the Second World War. And we didn't get that in this report. What we got instead was I think it belies just exactly how paranoid the Pentagon is that it's being caught out on a lie. What we got was a very carefully crafted but clumsily referenced and often falsely footnoted report that was essentially a reaction to key allegations against the credibility of the Pentagon, and particularly the head of the Arrow office at the time, Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick. This wasn't a historical review. What it was a knee-jerk polemic against Sean Kirkpatrick's accusers. And it actually shows that. You can see that in black and white if you read between the lines.
Yeah, you're right. And I based on our last show, I was not going to say Sean Kirkpatrick's name again. I was going to call him Voldemort. But I know that that's just petty on my part, and I'm a better man than that, so I'm going to call him Sean Kirkpatrick again.
Need to Know continues in a moment.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
It is odd to me that the guy's already left his job, but he's still a consultant, and he was out there pre-trashing this report, or at least pre-trashing the idea that anything could actually be happening here. Prior to the report coming out, they gave a briefing to certain institutions in the media that didn't let everybody in. I don't think News Nation got let in, and I would have loved to.
We were specifically excluded. Yes.
Yeah. This is, and I mean, asked, which is crazy.
We did ask. We asked Susan Goff whether we could attend, and she gave us some bullshit line that, you know, if such a meeting was to happen, I've forgotten the exact phrase, but she sent it to multiple media who tried to join the meeting, and she said no.
Right. Okay, that's wrong. Why play favorites, by the way, if you already know what you're spinning? Don't play the favorites because it only looks bad for you. I don't know. The whole thing kind of put me off the way that that was let out. And I'll tell you something. I read a lot of the coverage in the last few days since it came out. And a lot of it, I don't think was written by people that were in that early briefing. I think it was written by people who got this 64 pages of report and maybe read just the executive summary and the introduction or the conclusion, because I would say, the thing that most disturbs me about the report is not that it's drawn some wrong conclusions, because I expected that. I think the thing that bothers me is because the media has done a pretty lazy job on this of putting any of these things into context. I mean, the media is never going to cover the Condon report from 1968, right? So the problem is, here's a report and the media is not doing a good job of explaining it because they're just using the executive summary. And so the headline writers all over the place just basically mimicked what Sean Kirkpatrick's talking point was, which is, we looked into all of it. Rest assured, there's nothing to this thing. And by the way, just a bit of prediction, but that is not going to trend well over history. The 2024 report that we have in our possession that we're talking about right now is going to play very badly in the future. Now, there is a volume two, by the way. And is the volume two the one that has some of those details that you were talking about, the Roswell details, et cetera? I can't remember if Roswell is covered in any detail in this thing, is it?
It does mention Roswell in the first report, but in a very dismissive way. I mean, it just pushes correct the old line with Roswell.
What's volume two going to be? Do you know?
Well, we don't know. Frankly, yeah. Look, I can tell you, Bryce, there are people inside Arrow, the Pentagon's All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, who take a very strong view against that of its former head, Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick. The new boss, Tim Phillips, he's a complete unknown at the moment, but sadly, there are people inside RO who do feel that the public should be being told more and that, frankly, the Defence Department has elected to not be candid with the public. And it's distressing because there are a lot of good people in defence and intelligence who really do think it's time the truth was told about all of this story. And what I find incredible is this idea that we live in an era where the Pentagon can still make these kind of stentorian declarations that there's nothing in this and they expect people to go away. The Pentagon does not have that respect anymore. This is the same organization that, frankly, led us into two false wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. They've presided over debacles previously. The intelligence community presided over a debacle of an intelligence failure with 9/11. We're entitled to be skeptical. And no more so in this report's case when they start talking about how they approached, for example, the bosses of certain named companies that were allegedly experimenting on alien technology, because they did have witnesses who went to them, who told them that there were companies, let's say who they are, Northrop Grumman and Lockheed Martin in particular, who've been working on non-human technology. Arrows declared in this report that it found no evidence that US companies ever possessed off-world technology. The executives, scientists, and chief technology officers of the companies named by interviewees met with the director of Arrow and denied on the record that they've ever recovered, possessed, or engaged in reverse engineering of ET technology. Firstly, there's a problem with it. ET technology. That's not the euphemism that we're using. It's NHI technology, because it might actually be terrestrial technology we're talking about. The other thing is none, and I'm very sure of this, none of these aerospace officials were put on oath. And moreover, there was a very clear understanding, to my knowledge, that the existing constraints on what you're allowed to reveal if an operation is hidden behind a WSAP, a waived, unacknowledged special access program, the deepest, darkest, dirtiest secrets of all in the US military and intelligence community. If it's a WSAP, if one of these programs is protected in some way by a special access program that's tied up with a bow to be super, super secret, you are, as the head of that defense aerospace company or its corporate counsel or whoever it was that was questioned, you are legally obliged to avoid answering the question and, if necessary, to lie to conceal the existence of that program. So unless Arrow had the Title 50 access, which it didn't, to make these inquiries, and unless it put these people under oath, and unless these people were released legally from the terms of both their secrecy oath and any non-disclosure agreements, which they weren't, you're never going to get a straight answer. So the idea of Sean Kirkpatrick or whoever walking in and questioning these aerospace bosses and asking them directly, oh, do you guys have a flying saucer in your basement? You don't? Happy to take you on your word, guys. No problem at all. Yeah. Meanwhile, you've got the Congress, which has been told by David Grush and by other whistleblowers, not only who's doing this reverse engineering work and who has this recovered non-human technology, he's also told them where to look. He's also told them literally the addresses and the door you need to kick in to go and see this technology. And did Arrow do that? No, it didn't.
Doesn't sound like it. Doesn't sound like it. You know, also, Russ, it's hard to avoid the conclusion that having the Department of Defense write the definitive history of UFOs is really the fox in the hen house. I mean, the American military, the Defense Department, has a very poor record about telling the truth about UFOs. They have spun it for 80 years. And based on the things that we're learning now from these whistleblowers waiting in the wings and other sources, of course, is they knew. They've known for a long time. And so this is going to look very desperate very soon when people reveal it. The other thing about this thing, though, is that what's kind of strange is that even some of these investigations that have happened, they've had good people on them, but they were not allowed to really present their own minority report. On the Condon Committee, for example, this is the one in 1968 done at the University of Colorado. And the idea was to find that there wasn't anything to see there so that they could fold up Project Blue Book, which they did the next year. People have said for years, if you read the Condon report, the report is pretty striking, pretty scary in a way, because they're not answering where all these outliers came from and how they happened. But if you read the actual summary and the conclusions, which were dictated by Condon, who didn't believe in UFOs, I guess the Condon report said nothing to see here, as this one did. Same thing happened with Blue Book. There were a lot of really good people who worked on Blue Book in Condon report, and maybe even at Arrow right now. But the powers that be that are dictating what needs to be in these investigations and their conclusions are the ones who are still part of this continuing cover-up. So I'm not sure what's going to happen next, but I'm thinking that the next play has got to be to get more congressional hearings going and get some of these other people who have are the firsthand witnesses who Kirkpatrick did such a poor job presenting. You got to get these people, just like David Grush, you got to get them holding up their hands and promising to tell the truth, and we got to get them on record and let the American people and the people of the rest of the planet take a look at what they have to say. So my question is, I know that you, like you said at the beginning, you've been in D.C. and you've been having some of your secret squirrel meetings, which, by the way, I love that, Ross Coulthart in D.C. taking secret squirrel. I love that. Based on this, what do you think is the probability and the likelihood that it's one thing for people to say, yeah, I think the Senate, we should have a dedicated committee and all that. What's the real chance? What are you hearing about the real chance that will be set up and soon?
Look, I'm cautiously optimistic. I lurch between total paranoid pessimism and cautious optimism. And I think the reason why I'm more optimistic than I have been is because I'm genuinely heartened by the degree of intellectual engagement by even political representatives that I suspect the Pentagon doesn't even know about. What's been happening, Bryce, and it's very important for people to understand this, because the Pentagon does this kind of eggshell shuffle where they're going, look over there, look, that's happening over there, look what we've said, and completely ignore everything else. Meanwhile, over here in Congress has actually been doing some phenomenal work. For 2 years plus now, there have been witnesses coming forward to the Senate Select Committee for Intelligence, the Senate Armed Services Committee, and to some degree, the House Permanent Select Committee for Intelligence, the House Armed Services Committee, and the House Oversight Committee. And what's really interesting is a lot of those witnesses are people who, a lot of the people bleating out there saying, oh, there's no firsthand whistleblowers. There are firsthand whistleblowers, but it's all very well if you've got a secure job outside the military and intelligence establishment and you don't have to worry about keeping your job. If you're a whistleblower and you have a security clearance, the one cudgel that the Defense Department and the intelligence community have over you is the possibility of revocation of your security clearance. And that's why these protections that were in the Schumer Amendment, many of which were emasculated in the reforms pushed through by Mike Turner, the Ohio congressman in December. That's why the emasculation, the brutal axing of many of those protections for whistleblowers that were in the proposed legislation was and remains still so important. Because what Congress needs to do before it starts bringing these people out publicly, it needs to ensure that they are protected, that there can be no risk of retribution against them. Because believe me, what we're talking about here, and I find it breathtaking, because you sort of feel, sometimes I just feel I was walking down a street in Washington and I was looking around at the people around me and thinking, my God, you people don't know what I know. And I'd just come away from an incredible conversation with a staffer in the Congress who was telling me what they knew was going on. And it's revelations of direct firsthand witness evidence of a retrieval program and a reverse engineering program inside the United States, mainly run by private aerospace companies, but also overseen by a very small group of gatekeepers in the defense and intelligence community. And the thing I found breathtaking was that even at that stage, this is a few weeks ago, I had an intimation that this historical review was coming out and that it was going to be a cover-up. And I couldn't believe that the Defense Department would be so not only bold, but bloody stupid as to do this in defiance of what Congress knows it's being told. But they have been. And that's where this is getting exciting, because they've now put their flag in the sand.
Yeah.
They've said, this is our position. Yes, there's the BS reports from the Robertson panel and the Condon review and Project Blue Book. This is the Defense Department's stand.
Yeah.
They've now nailed their colors to the mast. And Bryce, forgive me with this rant, but there's a thing you probably know all about called Executive Order 12333, which bans the covert action by the intelligence community to influence the media or public opinion. The CIA and all the other intelligence agencies, including the military, are expressly forbidden by a presidential order to lie and mislead, to use influence campaigns against the media or the American public. And frankly, that's what they're doing. And do Americans care about this issue? Because I tell you, Congress does.
Not all of them care yet, but more every day are caring. And I think the point you're making, which is this was a dumb strategic move, because at least back when they were, you know, talking about Blue Book or some of these other investigations where they had to talk to the people, nobody was really coming forward that could blow them out of the water. But now we already know these people exist, and Congress knows they exist, two points you just made. And so what the Defense Department has done is set themselves up as a, what we call here in Hollywood, an unreliable narrator, right? The story they're telling just doesn't wash, and it's going to be revealed first that they're lying about that. And this won't play well, of course, but it's also going to finally wake up some of the sleeping giants, I hope, who are investigating this from the media's point of view, because when you see a cover-up, you got to believe that something is going on that would lead people to take such extreme measures. So that's going to be very interesting.
There's more to come, because you need to know.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
I do have to ask you one thing, though, because it keeps coming up. Either people are leaving these comments on our shows, or people I talk to are asking me about it. Things get said, and not just by you and me, but by, you know, our friends who are also doing investigations, where they say, I know something, but I can't tell you the detail here or the name or whatever. And the increasing scream from the masses is, give us some of this evidence, right? And, you know, we get told things about a 23-minute video that's in HD of a otherworldly craft. We get told that, you know, I believe even you talked about it on the show about there's a large craft in a foreign country that they built a building on top of it. And they're saying, okay, great. Tell me where, and we'll get Google Earth looking at it. So my question is, the hard evidence that people seem to be demanding, will they even find a whistleblower who's under oath, who says, I've worked in a legacy program for reverse engineering or crash retrieval? Is that going to be enough? Or does there have to be this other level of disclosure?
Look, I think part of the issue here, Bryce, is firstly, journalists, contrary to what people think, don't publish everything they know. 90% of what I get told, I don't use, primarily to protect sources, but also because I do. I make a measured judgment as a journalist about what I think I should responsibly reveal. One of the reasons Julian Assange, the Australian activist, not journalist, activist, is in prison in Belmarsh Prison in London is because he made a reckless decision to publish national security secrets that, frankly, I agree, I don't think should have been published. I don't think there was any merit in allowing the rest of the world to know the extent to which the various Five Eyes countries, including my country, Australia and the US, are able to intercept communications and monitor potential foreign adversaries. You know, I know I sound like a scratchy record on this, but we are at a very dangerous time in history right now. The atomic doomsday clock is closer to midnight than at any other time in human history. It's amazing. It's even more dangerous right now in the views of the experts than the 1961 Cuban Missile Crisis. It's quite extraordinary. And so there are good reasons for why a lot of this information has to be very carefully measured. And I, frankly, I don't mean any disrespect to those people out there who just say, look, just put it all out there and take the risk and publish. There are good people here who need to be helped over the line. And believe me, right, that's happening. Because what a lot of people don't realize is Congress already has all this evidence. The big question is, and this is why today's development is so significant, the fact that Congress is now pushing for a UAP select committee in the House of Reps is huge. I've known this was coming for a while. This is huge, Bryce. This is
Are we talking House of Representatives or Senate? I thought you said House, Senate earlier.
No. It's the House.
The House. Okay.
The request has come from a group of congressmen in the U.S. and women in the U.S. House of Representatives. And so imagine the consequences if we can get the Congress to a position where it can formally, under oath, interview witnesses in a public hearing, like the Church Committee hearings in the 1970s. This is where the crimes at the time of the CIA were exposed, the illegal assassination operations against Fidel Castro and other political leaders like Lumumba of the Congo. Appalling crimes committed in the name of national security that were not properly oversighted by the president and indeed by the key oversight bodies in the Congress. And so we have at the moment allegations of grave illegality, unconstitutional issues, criminal behavior. This needs to be investigated by the Congress. That's the best place to develop momentum to get this issue properly investigated. And frankly, I think a lot of what's holding it back is not, is there the evidence? It's a fear inside the Congress that this is so damaging, the revelations are so shocking for the American people, that it could damage the very fabric of American democracy. Because
We're doing a pretty good job of that ourselves right now, though. So
yeah, I know. I mean, a lot of people talk about the ontological shock of becoming aware of the existence of NHI, non-human intelligence. I think there's a bigger ontological shock here, Bryce. The bigger ontological shock will come when Americans and the rest of the world realize that what the Pentagon put out last Friday was a lie. Right. When they realize just how duplicitous and conniving the deceit has been. I just find it incredible how blatant that contradiction is between what I know is going on up on Congress and what I know is happening in private rooms on the Hill and what the Pentagon is parroting down on the river. It's ridiculous.
I do want to believe what you said, where, you know, the Congress is the proper place to take a look at this thing. But I was just watching the news today, and Representative Ken Buck, I believe he's from Colorado, he's a Republican, and he's quitting at the end of the week because he just can't take it anymore. And when he was interviewed, he said this was the least productive, competent Congress he'd ever seen in the 9 years he's been in Congress. But he thought it went back at least 40 years before there was any other time when it was as bad. So Congress has people in it who are very interested in knowing more about this topic, but the Congress itself can't seem to get its act together. And so I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that they can at least move ahead on this, but it doesn't look fantastic that way. I did want to just, I know we only got a little bit left, and I do urge people to read this thing. It's not that hard. And again, the positive for me is that I would have liked to have built this timeline myself in my research about what came first and all that. So it is kind of useful to me because now I can hang some of the other things I know on that, on the bones of this thing. So what I'm urging people to do is, yes, you should read it. And then once you've seen what they say, I just want to give you, these are just random. I just grabbed them off the shelf while Ross was talking, but this one goes back to 1976, Clear Intent by Fawcett and Greenwood, I believe. And it's about the government cover-up, and it's full of documents, and it's really a great read. One of the current great reads is our friend Richard Dolan's UFOs for the 21st Century Mind. Richard's the greatest historian on this. And honestly, this is a great read. It's basic but deep, and anything that you see in that report will be, you know, brought out even further. These are Richard's first two books, UFOs and the National Security State. Believe me, if you took the time, take a week off, read these two books, you will know. You will just know what a big lie this latest report is. And by the way, I put yours in there too, Ross, in plain sight. You managed and to also capture while we're at it, you should.
While we're at it, I think one of the things that I love is you've written incredible books on the subject as well. After Disclosure is one of my favorites, the book you co-wrote.
Well, you're very kind. And we are rapidly getting into that world. Two quick finals, UFOs and nukes. I mean, my God, folks, the government cares about nuclear weapons. It's high classification, and yet this issue of UFOs might be even higher. And this is the classic, I guess, going back to the late 80s, Above Top Secret, the Worldwide UFO Cover-Up by Timothy Good. I mean, all I'm saying is, you're not going to have time to read all these, but you could. And anybody who sits down and actually does the work to say, you know, what have these researchers found over the years, knows for sure that the current report is a lie. Now, why it's a lie, maybe there's good reasons. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think it's ever a good reason to lie. And I appreciate what you just said about After Disclosure, because the one thing that I co-wrote that with Richard Dolan, and one thing we certainly realized is that you can lie all that you want, but truth has a way of finding its, of coming out. And we are in a time right now because of, as you mentioned, the social media and everything. There's going to be leaks. There's going to be whistleblowers. It's all coming. So the fact, I do resent that the government did this with this report. I blame Kirkpatrick for it. He was the guy, he's the responsible agent of the government who put it out. He shouldn't have done that. He should have done a better job, but clearly he knew he wasn't supposed to do that. And I'm not sure what the politics of that are within the Pentagon, but it can't be good. And it's going to be even worse when they have to fess up and say, yeah, we're sorry about that one. But that's coming.
And so I think for me, I think I just want to end on one line that was put out by Lou Elizondo, the former head of the Pentagon's UFO investigation program. And he said that Arrow issued a public report that is intentionally dishonest, inaccurate, and dangerously misleading. And boy, I think we just leave it at that.
I think so. Thanks all for being here. Ross, Lou has nailed it with that one, so I can't beat it, so I'll say goodnight too. See you all later.
Right. Cheers.
Need to Know is a joint production of Stellar Productions and Powerful Owl Productions. The producer is Rich Johnson. Want more? Find more at needtoknow.today. That's needtoknow.today.